Actually, you do learn a lot. You can learn a lot of lies.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, so did you leave that?
No, yeah.
Do you belong to any organization now?
I do, but there's more to it. Most churches in the U.S. don't cover repentance or anything like that. So.
Yeah, they might talk about it, but they're not calling people and holding them to it. Their lives haven't been changed.
Yeah, so like I go to church. I still go to church, but there's a lot that's omitted. The repentance is the important part, actually.
Right. Well, on that card I gave you, it has the biblical gospel, and if you see on there, we have the faith in Christ's shed blood, death, burial, and resurrection. We talk about repentance.
Yeah.
That is a total turning of your mind and your ways toward Him, leaving your life behind. And then you know about being born again?
Yes.
Born from above, okay.
Yeah.
So if you're truly a child of God, you have the Holy Spirit within you, and then you walk in holiness and obedience, which is part of the repentance. If you repent, you'll be obey, right?
That's what I've been doing the last 2 years.
And then you got to endure in that because you can fall away.
Yes.
And, oh, there's my brother right there.
Yeah.
He's the one I was telling you, he left the Lutheran system. He said he was a Roman Catholic, and he left that, and he sees some of the lies.
Two years?
Yeah.
So you left the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
Okay, that's good. Are you associated with any churches?
I'm associated with churches. I don't know if they're denominational.
Okay, even if it's not non-denominational, I'm sure if you test it to the Word of God, you'll find something that's off. It really comes down to testing everything to the Word of God. If it's not in the truth of God.
Yeah. The church that I go to, everything that they're doing is coheres to the Word of God, which is why I still go there, but they leave stuff out. Which is why I still do a lot of I read the Bible. I try to pretty much look into what's extra that's being omitted. So I'm not the type to just kind of just sit there and go to church and just let that tell me. What you guys are saying is that is what's being omitted in those churches, right? Their repentance. And like you said, once they go and say, that's a bad thing.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. The thing with that is, do we live by some of the words out of the mouth of God or all of the words?
Yeah, it's either everything or nothing. Yeah.
Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He also is the Word made flesh, John 1.
Yes.
He said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ is the Word of God.
Yeah.
If your church isn't teaching the whole Word of God, and they're leaving parts out, they're not teaching the biblical Savior, Jesus Christ. So I would flee from that, because the Bible tells us to flee from false teachers. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. Bad company corrupts good character. So I would say flee, get into the Word of God, conform your life to the Word of God, because it's not just reading it, it's not just understanding it, you have to do it.
Yeah.
Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and obey it.
You guys go to any church?
No, we don't. We meet online with other brothers and sisters. We're traveling preachers. We go around.
Yeah.
I used to live in Wisconsin, but now I'm a traveling evangelist going around and working. I work for my living and whatnot, but we don't go to any church building.
Yeah.
But the ecclesia, which is the word for church in the Bible, the called out ones, we fellowship with them all over the place.
Yeah.
All over the country, sometimes all over the world. It's really whoever is willing to lose their life to find it in Christ, lay down their life, follow Him in obedience to the Word of God.
Yep.
And that's who we meet with. We meet online. We want to make disciples, teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, like Jesus said.
Yeah.
Go preach the gospel, make disciples, teach them to obey. So, I encourage you to go deeper. Test everything to the Word of God. Philippians says, prove all things. Hold fast to that which is good.
Yeah.
God is good, Jesus said. There's none good but God.
Yeah.
Hold fast to God. Jesus Christ is God. His Word is truth. You're going to be judged out of the Word in the Scriptures. If you read something in the Scriptures, you say, well, I see that sin in my life. I see that sin here in my church. And you don't flee from it. You don't turn from it. That's going to be on your record. Christ isn't going to cover that. Because you know it's sin and you're not turning. So you have to turn from your sin. You have to willfully turn from your sin and follow after Christ. If you're not willing to lose your life, and that'll result in, Jesus said, I came to bring a sword.
Yeah.
I came to divide mother, father, daughter, with the mother. He came to divide family. 2 to 3, 3 to 2, he said. So you're going to have to, if it comes down to it, if you preach the gospel, the biblical gospel to your family, they don't want to hear it, you're going to have to leave your family. I had to. If you preach it to your friends, they don't want to hear it. You're going to have to leave it. Flee from it. Flee all unrighteousness, all appearance of evil. It's a hard road. Jesus said, fight to enter in. Strive to enter into the kingdom of God. very few are going to be able to make it in, because you have to endure every single day of your life. You have to fight off your flesh, fight off the church systems, fight off false people that are trying to sneak into your life. You have to stick to the truth. But if you stick to the truth, hold on to it to the end, Christ will give you a crown of life. If you overcome the world, He overcame the world, He gives us His Spirit. If you overcome the world, if you hold on to Him, you'll have eternal life. It's a very narrow path.
That's what I'm trying to do every day when I'm in prayer. I just try to ask to, if there is anything in my life that's not living up to standard, reveal it to me. I don't have anything that's like I'm born again, so they say I have the Spirit. So that the Spirit should reveal to me if there's anything that I'm doing in my life that's not in accordance to
the Spirit. Can I throw something here? I care for your soul. The Bible says study to be approved. So we don't just, and I don't know if that's what you meant, we don't just wait for the Holy Spirit to bring stuff up to us. We study the Word of God, and then the Spirit brings remembrance and teaching and utterance and conviction to us to then follow it. So if you studied the Word of God, do you go to church system currently?
Yeah, well, I was just talking about that.
And what, can I ask the name?
Trinity Community Church.
Okay, so it's a non-denominational.
Yeah, it's not really.
Right, but even the non-denoms, we find they're not biblical because they practice, first of all, they don't have a biblical gospel that calls you out of the world. Did you go to the gospel? Oh, sister did. Okay, good. The gospel of the shed blood of Jesus and repentance to Him and being born again and holiness and obedience and coming out of the world. They don't preach that. They might say we believe that, but guess what? If they don't call you out of the world and say you're going to lose your life, Matthew 10, they're wrong. So their gospel is watered down more so to fill up buildings than to hopefully fill up heaven.
I'm with you guys.
Okay. So, and then
that's
the other...
Where I'm at. Like, yeah. I don't want to listen to everything in my church. I can't find that.
Well, the problem is if they keep any sin, and you know it's sin, and they won't repent of it, and you sing and pray with them, are you united to sin?
No.
Sure you are. The Bible says you are. If you sing and pray with them, young man, you're united to sin. The Bible says, set nothing vile before my eyes. And then Romans 16:17 says, mark those who cause division by leaving sound doctrine and avoid them.
What?
You're not avoiding them by going to church.
Oh, no.
You're uniting to them. And Jesus talks about, I was just telling a Catholic man, if you worship God, you worship God in vain for the keeping of man-made tradition. So the gospel they preach is false, doesn't call you out of the world. Pagan holidays, Christmas, Easter.
I don't celebrate.
Okay, but your church does.
Yeah, they actually do.
So they're wrong, and so they're heretics, and you're supporting them. So you see what we're doing here? We're exposing the sin. And you know how serious sin is? Do you really? Because if you did, you'd flee from it, wouldn't you? Anybody that practices it. So you have it. So I hope you go deeper and go, how many sins did it take for Adam and Eve to get put out of the garden?
Just one. Even Ananias took Sapphira after grace had come, after the Lord died,
wow,
shed His blood, rose again. They were struck dead for one sin.
Test yourself, sir. We love you.
So the Lord takes sin very seriously.
Yeah.
If you don't flee from sin, you're basically saying, I'd rather hold on to the world and my
fellowship,
man pleasing, or whatever it might be, over God.
So, yeah. What do you have to say about the process of sanctification?
It's pretty easy.
Because they say Paul says no man walks without sin. Even though we try our best, we can try our best to be completely free of it, but we can't.
So, did you know there's a difference between willful sin and sins of the flesh that can creep up on you that you got to repent of and keep going? You get the difference?
I've heard it described.
So, willful sin is a sin that you like, kind of like sin you're doing. Ready? Let me tell you. I know pagan holidays are wrong and God hates them. My church does it. But I'm going to keep going there because I need some place to go and I like the people there and it's okay. That's a willful sin. Okay? A sin that's just a sin that comes up is, you're a young man, are you married?
I'm about to be engaged.
Okay, so you're engaged, so you're walking down the street and you see a woman dressed lasciviously, you look at her and think a thought and you go, Lord, I'm sorry, I shouldn't think that stuff. Yeah. Your flesh creeps up in you. That's not a willful sin unless you go, whoa, and then she comes by again and you go, whoa, and you're looking at magazines going, whoa, that's a willful sin. So differentiate between sins that creep up on you that are not willful and things that you go, I'm doing willful. The willful ones are not cleansed by Jesus. Did you know that? Hebrews 10:26. If you live in willful sin, here's all my sin. Amen. You know this. Here's all my sin. Lord, take those from me and cleanse me. Oh, He does. I'm going to keep doing this.
Yeah.
Just use this one on him or me.
If you're walking willfully, then it's on you.
So we just expose some sins. And I would say also they don't call you out of the world. And I don't know if my brother went over it, but talk about the world.
Oh, I'm out of it.
Well, let him talk. Let him help you see the bar.
Yeah.
I don't watch
entertainment.
Sports, no.
Nothing.
No TV. No movies.
It also involves
YouTube videos, but it's for like business. So.
Okay.
What do you do? What do you do for a living? I'm just curious.
I work for HCA, so I do healthcare. I help with their EMRs, like the hospital system.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And then I have my own business too. I have staffing business.
Oh, okay. Oh, nice. Okay.
That's about the only thing, I guess, in the world, but, you know, even the Bible says in Genesis.
We use our phones for the proclamation of the gospel.
Yeah, one of the
movies.
One of the curses of man is he's got to harvest the land. So that to me speaks business nowadays.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that.
If a man doesn't work, it isn't.
When I got born again, I literally stopped caring. Like, I have no interest in literally
good.
Anything else.
But I can promise you something.
But I want to grow.
If we look up most of the people on your church, they probably are into sports, politics.
They are, and they, you know what? You're right. You caught me on it. They talk about it even in church.
That's a stench before God.
My fiance and I, when we get married, are going to move away anyway. So,
hey, brother, what's going on?
Could you help?
Well,
down by the other end.
I encourage you to be a Noah.
Down
generation.
By the Catholic Church. Come down this way.
And what that means is Noah didn't have anyone around him. All
right, bye-bye.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands, maybe millions of people, and he was building an ark for years and years.
Yeah.
You should be able to walk with God, seek out his truth in the scriptures. You have people you ran into.
You just met people that are godly and have come out.
Yeah.
You want fellowship.
And
you want
I view this as part of the sanctification process, whereas it wasn't there.
Can we go back to that?
No, I get to pray.
John 17:17. Jesus says, thy word is truth. So you got to be studying the word.
Yeah,
test everything you do. And then he says, thy word is truth. Sanctify them in the truth. So here's how. People think, ready? This is a big problem in American churchianity. Ready? I believe in Jesus. I got rid of like adultery and drugs and drunkenness. God is sanctifying me as I'm just walking through the world.
Now we got to actually get in the book.
You're going to be a husband soon.
Yeah.
God's not going to float you as a husband and take care of everything.
Yeah.
You got to keep your eyes straight. You got to take care of your wife. You got to provide for her. You got to be faithful. You got to protect her. God doesn't just float you.
Yeah.
Sanctification is you with the work of the Holy Spirit. You can't do it without
Him. Yeah. You can't just sit around.
Cleansing your life.
It's part of your will, too. This.
And I have a question. I'm going to go there. I feel the Lord's led me to go there.
Yeah,
Did you notice how we don't dress like the culture? Why do you think that is? Because we just want to show off. Do you think that's why?
No.
Do you think God, is this the temple of the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible?
What I'm wearing?
Is this the temple? Are
the
temple of the Holy Spirit? So I have a question. Should we be able to dress it the way the culture does, the way we want to, or God who owns it and says, you are mine, I purchase you with my blood, should He tell us how to dress it?
Is there anything in the Bible that's... like, I don't know, pretty well articulates that.
Yeah, my brother can tell you.
Yeah,
Genesis 3.
What's it say?
God clothed us Himself. Adam and Eve, when they first sinned, they saw they were naked.
Mm-hmm.
They made little aprons of leaves. They covered themselves because they were naked. But God said, no, that's not good enough. He made coats of skin, shed blood of an animal, an archetype for Jesus Christ, shedding of blood to cover us.
Yeah.
So He covers us up because we wear loose stuff like this. In order to cover our forms, because man has the proclivity to sin. Man has the proclivity to lust, to look after things. So we cover our bodies. We don't dress like the culture, because that's King James, one of the worst translations in the King James is the word modesty. I believe it's in 1 Timothy, right?
Yep, 1 Timothy 2:9.
What is modesty? It's changing every 10 years, like with the
it's
parameter.
It's a cultural thing.
And in 1 Timothy 2:9, it says women wear modest apparel. Do you know in the Greek, did you ever look up the Greek and the Hebrew?
I actually was the other night.
Okay, the Greek and the Hebrew says neat, orderly dress, robe. Women wearing pants and shorts, that's not what God ordained. Men are to wear a tunic-like garment to cover them up. And you might say, well, that's in Genesis 3. That's right after God ordained what? Husband and wife marriage. You believe in one man, one woman. That's right after that. Torah law comes along later. So Genesis 3, God tells us take dominion, tells us to, in Genesis 9, don't drink blood. And so what's very, very important is that we go back and see the pattern that God did. And guess what this does? Brother, what does biblical godly dress, what does it do for a saint? What does it make us?
It makes us humble. It makes us lowly. It reminds us
humbling
that
yourself,
Jesus covered our sin, covered us.
And it was all the same from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And guess what you get one day, young man? What's your first name? I want to know your first name.
Evan. Yes.
I'm too close to Sakuo. You know what you're going to get one day? When you endure in the book of Revelation.
A white garment. Yeah.
It's a robe.
Yeah.
You're not going to get athletic shorts and a t-shirt. And so you see what it does? It makes you holy. But holiness comes from the inside out. You notice my wife covers her head. Why do you think she does that? Just to look religious? The Bible actually teaches. And the Bible teaches head coverings in 1 Corinthians 11 in the New Testament.
New Testament.
That the churches have thrown away and gone away
from.
1 Corinthians 11. It's all on our website too. We have thousands of articles on our website to help you. Cool. We'd love to Bible study with you. We'd love to be in touch.
Pass along the information. I guess you can reach out on the website.
Yeah, you can go to the website and our email's on there.
Okay.
And if you want more, you let me know and I'll give you my phone number. We can text, we can talk, we can Bible study. We do three main things. We preach the gospel. That's what we're doing here. We make disciples. We'd love to make a disciple for you. And then, here's, ready? The churches, and I can promise you, your church isn't. They're not preaching the biblical gospel and living it. They're not making biblical disciples. And ready? They're not teaching them to obey everything he's commanded. They fall far short, don't they?
Yeah.
How can they? If they're born of the Holy Spirit, how can they fall so far short?
The
Holy
Spirit.
Do you have an answer for that?
It says in the scriptures, the Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth.
Amen, brother.
All truth.
Amen.
So,
yeah.
If it's not teaching us all truth.
So, what do you guys think about the second coming? It's got to be any second now, right?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Pre-trib.
Well, no. Okay. All right.
Pre-trib rapture.
What do you think about the rapture?
Pre-trib rapture.
Yeah.
Is an absolute lie invented by Darby out of England a couple hundred years ago.
Okay.
And evangelicals buy into it today. Matthew 24. Jesus says he's coming at the end of the tribulation. 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says he's coming at the last trump, which is the end of the tribulation. The rapture, if you want to call it, it's not a biblical word, but the taking up of God's people happens the same time when he comes. And he comes back, takes up his people, and he comes back to set up his kingdom. We don't go up for a magical period, and then he comes back down with us.
Yeah.
That is not taught anywhere in Scripture. Pre-trib rapture is an absolute lie.
So then, sure,
and I have articles on that at the teaching blog.
Sure. I'm sure you've ran into people talking about the Scripture then where it says that he will save his people from the time of wrath.
Yeah.
I think, I don't know if there's a difference in the Greek or the Hebrew, but the word used was wrath in the new KJV
but
or
NIV. Can I explain something to you?
What is your answer?
First of all, what verse are you talking about? Do you know which one it is? Because I'm not even familiar with that in the New Testament.
I'll find it.
Okay, but here. In Egypt, when the Jews were in Egypt, I have a question. Do you know that account?
Yeah.
Did God spare them from his wrath?
He didn't. Yeah.
Did he take them out?
Take them out?
Did he rapture them up?
No.
He just protected them from the wrath. You know whose wrath we're going to suffer in the tribulation?
No.
Satan's.
Satan's wrath.
Yeah.
He's going to come after the body of Christ. He's going to kill us. He's going to behead us. He's going to run us off. Like these wicked Catholics called the police on me 2 days in a row.
Yeah.
Peaceful streeting.
Yeah.
They're street preaching. But see, they can't silence the truth. And the police, the cops today were nice. The cop yesterday was telling us, don't be threatening. We don't do that. You watch us witness. We sit here and preach and people walk by. If they don't want to talk, we let them go. The cops today were very nice. And they said, you're fine. Just don't go on their property. You're okay.
So the one that because I don't have all my verses memorized at the top.
Yeah,
of the
no, neither do I.
But so the one I'm thinking of is 1 Thessalonians 5:9.
Okay.
It says, for God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but
right.
to receive salvation.
Okay, that's a little different than what you said. But yeah, we're not appointed to wrath. That doesn't mean he's taking us out. Just like the Jews, he protected them, okay, from the wrath. We're going to be protected from the wrath of God. We're studying through the book of Revelation right now as a body. And go read the book of Revelation. God's wrath doesn't pour out on his people. It pours out on
the world.
The world.
The world. The world. So that's what that means.
So
the pre-trib rapture is a lie.
So from what you're saying, the church will be here, but they're just not going to be. They're going to be like the Jews.
Exactly. We see that over and over. In fact, in all of the Bible, God's people always are brought through tribulation with a few a few instances not. Ready? The guy that was taken up in the chariot, Enoch. Not Enoch. Enoch was assumed up, and then the chariot was...
Elijah,
thank you. Enoch and Elijah, I get them confused. Taken up in the chariot, Elijah.
Yeah.
Okay, so he didn't have to suffer many things. But that's like a couple small variances. Everyone else, of all the thousands of people in the Bible, God put them right there and said, I'll bring you through. Ready? Even Jesus said, do not take them out of the world. But he said, keep them. Okay. So that's what's going to happen. And so get ready. Remember COVID?
Yeah.
COVID was nothing. The lockdowns compared to Satan has coming.
Yeah, it's just the breath hangs.
And men like Elon Musk. Men like. I'm not saying he's the Antichrist.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Men
those
like
are, those
him.
Those are the YouTube videos I'm watching.
Okay, be careful. Be careful.
Yeah, I know. I didn't test the
spirit. Be
the
careful
spirit,
of these. There's a lot of conspiracy theories. Yeah, on. Yeah. But I'm just using him as an example because one man can rise to the power and begin to have all the answers, and then people go, yes, I get an electric car and a brain chip and some money. Yes. Yes, Elon. And the Antichrist is going to come and have all the answers. They're already looking to Elon Musk to solve world hunger.
Yeah.
And they said, give us $10 billion, we'll solve world hunger. And Elon Musk is no dummy. What did he say? What's your budget at the World Council of Hunger or whatever? What's your budget? And they said, $12 billion a year. And he goes, you haven't solved it with $12 billion a year. You think if I give you $10 billion, you're going to solve it? He didn't buy it. Be careful what you're listening to. Go to the scriptures. And here's what I would tell you. Your church system, your pastor's failing you. You know why? In the 10 minutes we've been listening to you, I can promise you we've given you truth that he never had. Is that not true?
It's actually truth I've been exposed to.
That you have been?
Yeah.
Who exposed you to these? Like which
like
ones?
YouTube. Like I watch a lot of like people that do like what you guys are doing and stuff like that. Like even that street preachers.
Can you name one that... I'd love to know one that's fully biblical. I don't know all of them, but I know a bunch of them. Name one that you think has come out of the world.
See, Mark the Messenger. Are you familiar?
Who?
Mark the Messenger.
Mark
the
Messenger.
He's the one that I really like.
Mark...
Isaiah Saldivar.
Oh, Isaiah Saldivar. NAR. New Apostolic Reformation, signs and wonders, demon casting. They are focused on casting out demons. Did you see when they made...
Sopchak.
Huh? Sopchak. Oh, Vlad Sopchak.
One in the same thing?
Oh, yeah.
I have a video on my website. Look up my testing of Greg Locke. I got beat up outside of Greg Locke's church by his two security guards.
Really?
I was on the public sidewalk, on the street. They came out and beat me up. And they stole my signs and my phone. But anyway, okay. I have a testing...
That's not biblical.
I have a testing of Greg Locke on there. That Vlad Sovchak, you know what he's doing? There's a black guy. Brother, hold my sign. I need to do this. There's a black guy. Doesn't matter if he's black or white, yellow. I don't care. There's a guy up on the stage like this.
Yeah.
And Vlad is up there, and they're pretending he's got a demon. I think it's all either the work of Satan or pretend to make money. You know what Vlad Sovchak is doing? I got a video. Look it up. Come out, demon. Come out. Demon of masturbation. Come out of your hands. Come out of your hand. Demon of masturbation, come out here. They literally believe there's a demon of masturbation that causes men to masturbate. Do you know what causes men to masturbate?
The flesh.
That's Vlad Sovchak. That's Isaiah Saldivar. Those men are NAR corrupt heretics. I exposed the NAR on my website. I have Greg Locke and Vlad Sovchak. I do want to do a testing on Isaiah because Isaiah has some things right. Some things.
Yeah.
Careful. Satan quotes God's word and has some things right, and then he deceives you with the wrong.
So then here's a question for you then.
Yeah.
I guess I'm not saying I'm like buying into that or whatever, but what I'm saying, I just want to like discuss the scripture. It says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, that's in Ecclesiastes, that verse.
Right.
So then, for example, some of the sins that are not of the flesh, the willful ones, then wouldn't that be of like actual spirits that we're fighting?
Yeah, give me an example.
Well, one that's not
so,
of the flesh.
So here you go. Ready? Lust. If you have a problem with lust and you look at women, demons could entice you, but no demon unless you're possessed. By the way, they believe you can be possessed as a Christian.
Yeah, Christians can't be possessed.
That's what Isaiah believes, and so does Vlad, and so does Greg Locke, and so does their clan, and so does that other guy, Mike Signorelli.
I've seen maybe like one of his videos. I'm afraid
they all,
with who he is.
They all believe you can be demon-possessed. There's not one example in the Bible of that. This is all recent man-made theology. So demons can entice you. Demons don't control you. Ready? There's no Jezebel demon. There's a spirit of Jezebel. Do you know what the spirit of Jezebel is? It's not a literal demon that's a Jezebel. It's a heart and a mindset. You know I can prove that? How many Holy Spirits are there?
12.
But the Bible says there's a spirit of love. The Bible says there's a spirit of fear. The Bible says there's other spirits. Is there more than one spirit from God? There's one. So that is a term. Ready? Hey, preacher, man, you preach with the spirit of condemnation. Is there a spirit of condemnation in me forcing me to preach?
Yeah, no, it's not like that. Not like the Exorcist movies. Yeah.
This is where they get a lot of their theology from. So I would throw them away. You ready? Study the Word. The Word.
The Bible. Yeah, the Bible.
So
that's
I care for your soul. Throw YouTube in the garbage, except for your business. Throw YouTube in the garbage for theology. They're going to damn their soul.
I was into that for like 2 years. I was into the YouTube stuff.
Well, that's about
going
us.
All over the place.
I got born again about almost probably like 2 years ago.
So you're young. You got to build your foundation.
Still,
why don't you come and have fellowship? Not meaning literally because you have a place to live. You're living here, but come online, email, text, Bible study, and we'll show you how to be a true biblical holy saint and come out. But the cost is great. Mm-hmm. The cost is great. You know why? You have a fiance.
And, oh yeah, that's true.
She may say, "Well, I don't like the new Evan."
I have a feeling she'll be on the. She'll be with you.
Okay. Well, I hear that a lot. A lot of times it's not true. I don't know her, so I'm not judging. But be careful. God first. Mm-hmm. Don't hearken to a woman.
Yeah.
You're not married yet, mm-hmm. so you're free from that.
Yeah.
And set your course on coming out of the culture, come out of that dead church. You know, if you die today, you may be the guy that Jesus talks about, or you may be the ones. Well, if you say you're born again, that wouldn't be you. That would be false converts. But if you say you're born again, Paul talks about people that have fallen away and shipwrecked their faith by following doctrines of demons and false ways.
Yeah.
We don't want that to be you, because you don't believe that once you're saved, you can never lose your salvation.
Yeah, I don't
do
believe that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I had to just tell a guy down there that, and he's like, "Oh, no, I won't believe the Bible." I said, "Sir, you won't believe the Bible?" I start giving him verses. Nope, don't want to hear it. I got my salvation. I can't lose it. He's in delusion.
Yeah.
The Bible teaches you got to, in like a marriage, you got to walk in it.
Yeah.
You got to keep it going every day, every week, every month. So you're in danger only because fear and trembling.
Fear
Philippians,
and trembling, yes.
Philippians 2, I believe it is.
Mm-hmm.
You're in danger because you know of some sin. And guess what James says? To not do what you know is right is called
sin.
We don't want you to be in sin.
Yeah.
We want you to be set free. But there is a cost. You will lose your life. How much? What did you lose?
Oh, I lost my. I finished college, lost my career ambitions, lost my family. They didn't want to hear the gospel. They actually tried to lure me back in with the flesh one time. I had to rebuke them, send them away because they didn't want to hear the gospel. Lost my friends, didn't want to hear the gospel. Lost my dwelling in Wisconsin, had to move. Well, now I'm just a mover and traveling.
We're van dwellers, I've told you that.
Yeah.
I retired, sold everything I owned. We live in a camper van. He lives in a van. Our brother coming up with his wife and children live in a van. And why do we do that? Because we don't want anybody's money. We'll never take a penny from you. Other than if you were our brothers, we'll help other people. We'll pool our money to help someone else. But we live really simple and frugal because that's another thing. Have you noticed? Your church is a big business. You know where 80% of your money goes in the church buildings?
Where?
Salaries and the building. You know where the money in the New Testament body went? Preaching the gospel, widows and orphans.
Yeah.
You see how they've turned it into a corrupt business?
Yeah.
Don't be part of that. If you truly are of God, you'll love the truth. Psalm 119:104 says, "I hate every false way." If you're really being led by the Spirit, He's going to convict you to hate those false ways they won't repent of. And can I offer you a suggestion? Maybe my young brother could tell you. What would you say to somebody that's in a false system and says, "Well, I'm going to stay and try to convince them before I leave"? What would you say about that?
That's not going to work.
Why not?
You got to flee. It's kind of like everyone's in like a sand pit. They're sinking in a sand pit. It wouldn't help anyone if you stayed in the sand pit sinking with them, saying, "You got to get out of here. You got to get out of here." You have to get out of the sand pit, throw them a rope and say, "Come on, come on out."
Yeah. Throw them the truth, the gospel, and then very few are going to come out.
Yeah.
But you'll be one of them. So, any question? Any other questions?
No, I got your thing. We've got other people to get to here.
Email us.
Props to you guys for doing the work that you're doing.
Yeah. Email us. We'd love to hear from you. We'd love to encourage you in the word. We'd love to have another brother that's walking in holiness. 1 Corinthians 1 says, "All speaking the same things, being of one mind." So if you're with a body that you can't speak the same things and be of one mind, you got to go deep in the scriptures and then pray to God that He sends you people, and He did, that you can be of one mind in sound doctrine and go, "Man, we all believe the same thing. We live the same way. We're united in the faith." That's what Jesus came for. Not 40,000 different denominations and flavors.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was praying this morning to the Spirit. Like, I've been trying, a lot of my prayer life has been using scriptures to grow closer to the mm-hmm. Spirit, and I've been asking to be convicted. That's been a large part of my prayer life. So things like this, I believe, are the answers.
Amen.
To be further convicted of, I know, like, I'm still not perfect. I know I'm not perfect, but I'm trying to grow better. And I know, so when the day I got born again 2 years ago, literally, like, even just the day, like, all of my anxiety, depression went away. I met my girl.
That's awesome.
I met my girl, like, the week, I met her at my church, but that week. And she's like been, I've had bad relationships in the past where I was walking in sin, but she's been absolutely like amazing.
Yeah.
And she's a born again, but her dad's a pastor in Congo.
Okay. So that's all awesome. But remember, your faith life is not static. You won't get to a place. You got to keep going up and keep going in your holiness.
That's what I've been praying for.
And if every day, week, month, and year, you look at your life and go, man, we covered it. I look just like the culture. My heart's changed. My life has changed. God dressed us, and I'm supposed to cover myself up. And this is the temple. Why do I look just like the culture? That should really convict you. I go to a church system with a bunch of worldly people that keep false doctrines. That should convict me. I'm supposed to walk in spirit and truth. How can I be united to lies and error? This should convict you. And just remember this important thing. We hear this all the time. God knows what's in my heart. But guess what? If your wife goes out and lays with a man,
yeah,
and you catch her, and she comes home and she goes, Evan,
is it okay if I take the picture?
But I love you. Sure, sir, you can take pictures. We don't pose, but you can take pictures. We're out in public. Evan, I know I slept with him, but I love you in my heart. Does that really mean anything?
Yeah, no, that's true.
God's going to say what's in your heart. God's going to say what's in your heart should be what you live out.
Yeah.
That's what Jesus said. Out of the abundance of your heart,
mouth speaks. And I will say, the Lord gives you a little bit of light. He says, here, we just exposed this sin for you. Are you going to flee it? Are you going to obey me? Are you going to do it? If you're not willing to do it, not willing to obey, he's not going to give you more light.
Yeah.
You have to do the little bit he gives you. When you do it, he'll give you more light, more light, more light.
Yeah.
So you have to obey him. Otherwise, he's not going to give you.
The way I have seen my life in the last years, it is continuing going up and up and moving more.
That's awesome, cool. Yeah. Hungry
this,
for more.
This is the more that I needed to hear.
Yep, and obeying and keep going. And then John 13, Jesus said, this will be the sign to the world that you love each other. Yeah. So if you believe, you go on our website, and if you find anything unbiblical, you contact us. Me and brothers, if we're wrong, we'll repent of it. You can help us get it. If we're not wrong on things on the website, I do have a question I ask people. Why wouldn't we, even if we can, long distance as best we could, encourage each other, stay in touch, help each other, test each other? Because Jesus said there's a puny few that are going to come out of the world.
Yeah.
Few means puny in Matthew 7. So if you love us, I have a question. If we love you, but we're not willing to communicate and help you, how do we really love you? So we always ask people, if you love us, how come people, it glorifies God when we stay in touch and we love each other.
Yeah.
It would glorify God if you and I and Brother Kuo and Brother Zealous is coming, that we would love each other and encourage each other. That glorifies God. Most people, I'll do my own thing, man. See you. That's not love. That's not love. You've been awesome, man. Can I give you a hug?
Yeah, of course.
I care for your soul, man.
Yeah.
I really do.
As well. I
care for your soul.
Yeah, of course.
Email us, text us. We'd love to talk to you. Go deep, obey, and we're here to help you.
For sure. Have a good day.
God be praised.